Hello everyone, welcome back to a new episode of the Sensory Podcast. And in this channel, we've talked about different attributes of coffee. We started to talk about acidity, about astringency and aftertaste, body texture, mouthfeel. And a year ago, I think, we started with smell and taste as an introduction. And we still have so much of this to cover. And today I want to talk about sweetness, which is a very you will see a very interesting subject in coffee, the way we score it and the way we assess it. We will start with a definition of sweetness in general and introducing basically how do we smell and how do we sort of taste sweetness before introducing sweetness into coffee. And that's why it becomes interesting on how we assess sweetness but for coffee. And then we will do some example and application on, you know, in farming, roasting, brewing, or consuming, how sweetness can be changed, improved, enhanced, or masked even. So let's just start by a quick definition, very easy definition. You know that in this podcast, our idea is really to make sensory science a little bit easier to chew. So what is sweetness? Sweetness is nothing but fuel for brain and muscle. It's energy, carbohydrate, carbs, petrol for your body, whatever you call it. But it's basically the sugar from any ingredient, any substance that brings energy to your brain and your muscle. That's what makes us functional, basically. So that's the classic definition of sweetness. And we all have a sort of idea what sweetness is. The basic solution of sweetness for you to taste actually what is pure sweetness is just to mix sugar with water. I have different concentration. If you want to play and improve and kind of try to differentiate intensity, but just to take the sweetness flavor or sweetness taste, should I say, just pour water in and sugar. That's it. That's the basic sweet compound. Now, let's talk a little bit about how do we smell in our sensory. And I know that I repeated that a couple of times, but especially when we're going to talk again about sweetness in coffee, this is going to make a lot of sense. So a flavor is basically a mix, a flavor perception, should I say, is a mix between the aromatic compounds that enters through our nose, whether it is retronasal or orotronasal. So that's kind of smell aspect of a food, and the mouth, the tactile, the taste buds that combine in the receptor cells that kind of give a signal to our brain and tells us that, okay, this is sweet, salty, sour, salt, bitter, umami, et cetera, et cetera. So we have this kind of almost two sides of the basic taste perception or flavor perception, one from the aromatic compounds, the volatile compounds, and one from the mouthfeel, the taste buds, the texture, and our basically kind of physical taste buds in our tongue. So that's basically the easiest way to understand how we taste things. And basically in taste, aroma, and texture, that's what formed the complete picture in your brain, right? Now, once we understand a little bit how we smell things, and remember that aspect, we will need it in coffee a lot. Let's just do some pairing here. Once again, we will talk again about that in coffee, but here in general, food pairing, sweetness is contains carbohydrates and is the, as I say, is the fuel for the brain, and it has some balancing, meaning opposite basic taste, and some complementary. When I say complementary, I mean that they accentuate each other. So sweet and bitter are balancing; they oppose each other. The opposite of bitterness is sweetness, and sweet and sour as well. A food that is sour is not sweet. It's kind of obvious, but it's not the case with other taste compounds like saltiness or spiciness. spiciness and sweetness are complementary. They accentuate each other. The same for sweetness and fat, if you consider fat as a basic taste. But here I'm taking a sort of culinary aspect of it. But if you want to take just the scientific aspect, sweet and salty, right? They complement each other versus sweet and sour, which balance or oppose each other. So that's something really important to understand when we're going to roast, brew, and farm, right? Remember, sweet, sour is opposing, and sweet and bitter as well, especially sweetness and bitterness have a very strong opposite correlation versus sweet and spicy, sweet and fat, or sweet and salty. All right, now that we've introduced our concept of sweetness in general, let's look at the definition in coffee. And here I'm taking really the, I'm going to start with SCA definition and a little bit more words and research done in coffee. So according to the SCA, sweetness refers to a pleasing fullness of flavor, as well as any obvious sweetness, and its perception is the result of the presence of certain carbohydrates. This is a very complicated sentence that just says that sweetness in coffee just refers to the feeling of and the perception of carbs, of sweetness, basically. The opposite of sweetness in this context is sour, which is kind of true as we saw it with the food, and also bitter. And that is not written here. Let me read it again. The opposite of sweetness in this context is sour, astringency, or green flavor. That's interesting. Astringency is not a taste, but it's a sensation. So I'm not sure what astringency has to do here. Maybe because astringency is a consequence of sourness or green flavor, which is true, but it's not a in the same level. But I agree that a green flavor, which is often linked to sourness, is the opposite of sweetness, as well as bitterness. This quality may not be directly perceived as in sucrose-laden products, such as soft drink, true, but will affect all the flavor attributes. 2 points are awarded for each cup displaying the flavor for maximum of 10 points. So basically here in the SCA cupping form, there's five boxes representing the five cups that we taste when we score a cup of coffee. And if a coffee has a perception of sweetness, we tick that box and it's 2 points to reach 10 points, basically. Kind of weird. And what I like is that they switched a little bit the definition in the cupping handbook. The 2021, September 2021, cupping handbook from the SCA, where it says that sweetness in coffee is still something of a mystery. And I like that. And is likely the product of an aromatic impression, right? An aromatic impression, not due to any dissolved taste sense, and definitely not due to any dissolved sugar. Therefore, in cupping, sweetness is defined as the impression of sweetness in the coffee brew. Earlier noted, this cream of brown sugar maple syrup and most fruits are a good indication of sweet aromatics in the coffee. Since sweetness is seen as fundamentally important in coffee, the test is if a coffee is perceived as sweet, even at the recognition threshold level, the box, that box that we saw earlier, is basically ticked. And that's about it. But here it's a very good, I really like the definition because it really shows you that sweetness is something of a mystery and it is a perception of it. As a matter of fact, there is no dissolved sugar in the coffee. Even though you perceive it as sweet, there's actually no kind of technical sweetness, technical molecules contributing to the sweetness, but it's mostly due to the aromatics, the volatile compounds. That's why I told you to remember the first kind of part of this podcast about the smell and how flavors is percepted, is perceived, sorry, percepted. I'm start mixing French and English, is perceived. And here we can see that the aromatics is really the reminiscence of the sweet food. And they went further with the research done by Batali that showed that the sweetness is highest in drip coffee when both the brew strength has been basically without the presence of sour tasting or bitter tasting dissolved compounds. So which here they did a test where they brew different batch brew and a different TDS, brew strength basically, and percentage of extraction. And the one that show less sourness and bitterness compounds dissolved is perceived higher in sweetness, but they all don't have any sweetness sugar molecule inside inside the coffee. They also did that. You can taste that by yourself. If you pinch your nose and you drink something very sweet, you don't perceive that that sweet coffee. Coffee, right? That is sweet, not a something sweet. If something is naturally sweet, you will perceive the sweetness. But if you drink like a sweet, natural processed coffee and you pinch your nose, or if you have experienced the COVID and you lose your sense of smell and you drink a coffee, all the coffees, they're losing the entire sweetness and they appear super, super flat. So that's why they're doing another research where I forgot which kind of food that is not really sweet. I think cheese, yeah. They did it with cheese and they added some vanilla extract, and the smell of the vanilla makes people perceive the sweetness on that cheese, even though there were technically no sugar added to the cheese. It was just the vanilla extract of it. So here we understand that sweetness in coffee is not due to the presence of sugar dissolved in the coffee, but the aromatic impression from our nose. And that's where we're going to kind of unfold that that definition of sweetness through farming, roasting, brewing, and also the cross-modal impression and tasting when you consume coffee. That was very, very interesting to check that when we did those experimentation, and also all those, what I'm saying is really based on research done by the SCA, but also at a sensory summit that I've been participating over a couple years ago. And also some books that I will refer in the podcast. So we checked, let's summarize again. We checked what is sweetness, how do we smell, the kind of opposition and complementary of taste. Then we checked the definition in coffee and how it's a little bit weird how we score coffee in coffee, right? Because it's a perception, aromatic perception. The way I do score sweetness a little slightly differently. I do not use the SCA cupping form anymore. I think I stopped using it about a year ago, mostly because the SCA cupping form is really to taste if a coffee is specialty or not. But once you have established really strong trusted partners at the farm and with importers, almost all the coffees we receive are specialty. So then it's really about tasting for higher quality coffee. So I score sweetness on a scale from 6 to 10 as other attributes. And I do not score another attribute that we will talk on the following podcast about sensory, which is balance. But this is another kind of long story. So I do score sweetness based on that, on the quality of the sweetness perceived, not dissolved once again. And because coffee is not, sweetness is not dissolved in your coffee. It is perceived from your nose. And that's what really important when we're gonna brew coffee and roast coffee. So let's now, let me check if I haven't forgotten anything. Maybe in the red mill here, because I've been reading a couple of books about food science mostly. And yeah, all right, so let's start talking briefly about, now that we understand the effect of sweetness in coffee, how it changes through kind of a chain, right? And we started at the farm, and in the farm, it starts with the variety and the minerals, the vitamins of the coffee plants. Once again, let's take the end. Always, all my approach when I roast, when I brew, is by reverse engineering the system, by taking the end parameters and understanding how we change the beginning. You remember that sweetness is opposite to bitterness and sourness. So the easiest way to increase the perception of sweetness is to decrease the perception of bitterness. Because bitterness is much, much, much stronger. You perceive much more bitterness than sourness, right? We perceive bitterness about 10 or 100 times more than sourness, and I think 1,000 times more than sweetness. There might be a zero out there that I'm mixing, but all in all, you perceive bitterness much more than sourness, and sourness much more than sweetness. So the easiest way to increase the amount of sweetness perceived is to decrease the amount of bitterness. And in variety, right, bitterness is mostly created by caffeine and trigonelline, basically. So let's just pick a variety that naturally, or try to naturally, produce less caffeine. And this is the classic Lorina, Geisha, and recently Eugenoides, right? So any, or Bourbon Point 2, that's the other name of the Lorina. So any variety that have an internal chemistry with less caffeine per weight, caffeine percentage per weight, sorry, will have less bitterness, hence more sweetness. That's why Robusta has much more bitterness and less sweetness than Arabica. If you ever tried a Robusta coffee, it is incredibly bitter and not sweet at all. But if you try an Arabica, it's perceived less bitter, even though both dissolved, they have no sugar inside. But Arabica is perceived a little bit sweeter because it has less caffeine. So the first thing is is the amount of caffeine. And every variety will be a little bit different. The ones that are crossed with Robusta, like Catura or Timor hybrids, Sarchimor, Catimor, etc., will have slightly more caffeine. And those caffeine is basically, it's a defense for the coffee tree against insects. So there's an economical environmental aspect to that. It's not all about, you know, taste for the farmer, right? They also need to provide some yields. So it's important to also take that into consideration. But here, we're really focusing on the taste. And all in all, less caffeine in my coffee, in my green coffee, more sweetness, potential sweetness perceived. Because we can mess it up in roasting and brewing. So it's potential once again. Then let's talk about minerals, sun, shades, the terroir, all those environmental aspects. This is basically the stress that a coffee is getting under. And if a coffee is healthy, it has enough sort of room to breathe. The rooting system is well managed. There's not a lot of leaf rust or basically any disease. You can check the health of a coffee plant by looking at the leaves. They have different colors. DSC has a really extensive handbook on how to assess the health of a coffee plant. So, but a healthy coffee plant with enough room to breathe, will also display less stress. And that can be, it's not proved once again, but it can potentially improve the sweetness quality and impression. And that's, once again, we still don't exactly know if that's true or false, but we definitely know that a coffee that has been through leaf rust and over disease and under stress perceive a lower score in flavor and sweetness. But I'm not sure if the opposite is true. I'm not sure if a coffee that has plenty of room and super healthy is exponentially sweeter. I just know that if you put too much stress on a coffee plant, it can impact its sweetness. Okay, regarding now process and duration, this is again a little mystery, but process definitely is a big precursor of flavor and a big precursor of sweetness perceived. We all kind of now know that a natural process has a higher perception of sweetness than a washed, and then we have introduced different kind of processes that showcase different sort of sweetness, but we know that process impacts the most the flavor and hence the sweetness. Then you have the duration of that process, and then any soaking period in between. But basically, process, duration, and temperature is those three aspects that can change the sweetness and the flavor of a coffee. Here, I don't take sweetness only. I always link it to flavor, because you remember that sweetness is a perception in the coffee, thanks to the aromatic compounds that remind us of fresh fruits, berries, brown sugar, etc., etc. So that's why in fermentation and in farming, I always link a sweetness perception with flavor creation, and that's really an entire other world that I'm still learning. Still don't know a lot about fermentation and the microbial activities, which basically microbes affects some beans. There are research done on some farms, but it's not streamlined to the entire varieties of coffee. As you know, I pay a lot of attention to first the coffee tree. If the coffee tree is great, it's amazing, then it's just so easy to play with. But if we do research on just one or two varieties, we don't have enough data to do it on the other ones. Like you cannot scale a conclusion based on a research done on only one or two varieties when there's actually more than 160 species of Arabica. So that's why it's still going on. I'm still learning about the coffee fermentation and how it affects your sweetness and flavor in general. Okay, roasting. Oh my God, this can be a long, long subject, but I'm going to keep it quite short. Sweetness, we think that is created during the Maillard reaction. Yes and no. Why? Because remember what I said in the beginning, bitterness is opposite to sweetness. So if you have a coffee that is less bitter, it will be perceived sweeter. Once again, if a coffee is perceived less bitter, it will perceive sweeter. So that's why that's why I prefer a slightly more careful roast, light or light to medium. And I know it doesn't mean anything because everyone has a different color, a scale in our brain. But basically, whenever you perceive bitterness in the coffee, well, you're going to perceive less sweetness. So the way a roaster can modulate that is by focusing on the overall time, as well as the end color and the end temperature, because those affects the end color, and the end color is a good indication of bitterness, which is a conclusion of sweetness. So here I'm not going to dive into every chemical reaction that's happening into the roasting stage, because this is really to understand more sweetness as a consumer. But for roasters, the end color matters, which is a conclusion of which is an impact impacted by the end temperature and the total roast time, and also the development time as well. But it's mostly that end temperature and a total time that affects the color, which affects the effect of bitterness, which affects the perception of sweetness. The same goes for the sourness. I'm not saying that acidic coffees are sweeter, but they feel sweeter than bitter coffees, definitely. And that's we can also taste it. If you have a very light, lightly roasted coffee, you can still perceive some sweetness. But when it's extremely dark, it absolutely almost no sweetness left. So that's why that's why personally I prefer, and I roast my coffees in the light or light to medium range, so I can perceive a little bit of acidity and sweetness that complement each other, opposite each other, and absolutely avoid bitterness. That's really my sort of, I won't say pet peeve, but if I detect the bitterness, I know that the sweetness will be impacted. And in coffee, as you increase, as you go through roast, you increase your bitterness and you decrease your acidity slash tartness. And every coffee is different. So some coffees, they feel a little bit more acidic, because if you take it a little bit longer, you may perceive bitterness, which may decrease sweetness. So in order to preserve that sweetness, sometimes a coffee may perceive more acidic, but because it's backed by sweetness, and that coffee is not sour because it has that sweetness. But if a coffee goes along and along and you have some bitterness, then you start having a somehow acidity that remains, but then you also have the bitterness that covers the sweetness. That was about roasting. Now brewing is very interesting. They've done some research. When I went back in 2020 in the Sensory Summit, where they did research that and found out that the lower TDS and lower percentage extraction actually increased sweetness, which is quite interesting. And it is kind of true. If you have a very strong espresso versus the longer one, the strong one perceived quite sour. And because of high TDS, you extract really like the sort of the beginning in concentration, and that's increased your amount of acidity and sourness, which may overpower the sweetness. And as you saw, as we talked about it in the beginning, sweetness and sourness are opposite. The same goes if you go too fine and on your espresso, it takes longer, then you extract a lot of bitterness, which masks the sweetness. But here it says that a lower percentage extraction and a TDS improve actually the sweetness, increase the sweetness perceived. So that getting somewhere in that extraction between 18 and 20% or max 21% can really create a very sweet impression, rather than having too high of an extraction. That's my personal preference as well. But once again, this can change completely when we're going to talk later on at the end about the consumption. But let's talk more about brewing. We know that the sweetness perceived is based on a lot of elements. So here we talk more about that ratio, that dose per of coffee per water, and how slightly lower TDS, so slightly more water. So like 60 grams per liter, for example, or 65 grams per liter, have more sweetness perceived than a 75 or 80 grams per liter. That is done on a drip coffee. And we agree, if you make two pourovers, and one you pour more water than the other ones, you'll perceive more sweetness on that one, given that it's a reasonable range. Then grind size. We know that if you go finer, it takes longer, coarser, it's quicker. But if you go finer, you also showcase a lighter color. So that's also something to take into consideration. It's a little bit another subject, how the color of a ground of coffee is never the same between the inside and the outside. There's always a delta in between. And if you go finer, you are also going lighter in color, and the opposite is true. Then the water, water temperature. We've done a lot of research about water and how the temperature really doesn't, for light to medium roast, doesn't really change anything above 195, 199 until 210. It's not a case for darker roast. That's why roast profile is really what that can drive, change, improve, or destroy sweetness. So you can play with a roast, with a brew water, actually. It's something that is really, really cool to play, how to improve or emphasize the texture, sweetness versus the acidity, and how to change those things. But a slightly lower temperature is often, will often decrease also your TDS a little bit and improve the sweetness perceived. Once again, this is based on a research done at ACA, but also it's also I want to say within a reasonable range. I'm not saying use 100 degrees Fahrenheit or 50 degrees Celsius water. It is within that kind of 90, 96 degrees C range. On the lower end, you will extract slightly less, have a slightly less lower TDS, which may increase the sweetness. And that's, once again, is different for each coffee. It's really important to remind those things, because every coffee will behave differently, and there's always a range, because every coffee has their own room that you can play with. About the water chemistry, what can I say about the water chemistry? We've done some research on general hardness and alkalinity. So alkalinity is a buffer for acidity, and now we know that if our acidity is too low, our alkalinity is too low and our acidity is too high, we may get sourness and tartness, which decrease the perception of acidity. But if it's too high, it creates a very blend and very kind of, it masks all the acidity and the liveliness of the coffee too. So having a soft alkalinity somewhere around 40 and 60 parts per million helps, slightly more for espresso than filter. Just don't go extreme, basically. But usually those won't really change much on the sweetness perception. And then it's about that calcium magnesium ratio on the general hardness. And that's where it's getting a little bit complicated, because not a lot of research has been done. Most of the research done are all home-based research and filling, and I've done those as well. And to me, magnesium really extracts a lot of flavors out of the coffee, but too much magnesium may imply some tartness and astringency, which decreases the perception of sweetness. So I used to do always 2-2-1, like two times more magnesium than calcium, because I really like those floral, fruity aspect of it. But then with some coffees, that made it on the sour side of it. Then I went with 2-2-1 on the calcium side, and then you have really like a deep sweetness, but you don't have that like sort of cloudy complexity of the flavor. So honestly, I keep it 1-1. Same amount of magnesium, same amount of calcium. That gives me that balance, and I change it based on the coffee. So once again, we don't know what's going on when we use different minerals in the water. Still in the brewing. quick kind of conclusion on the brewing about the method you use on the drip. Usually flat bottom increase the amount of sweetness than cone shaped. That's because of the physical of extraction. And I will also refer you to the book by Jonathan Gagné, The Physics of Coffee, that explained that extremely well. So a flat bottom usually will sort of improve that that sweetness perception because it decreases the acidity perception, basically, versus a V60 that or cone shape, sorry, that increase that clarity, like complexity, that brightness, and that's why you may perceive less sweetness on a cone shape filter than a bottom flat bottom brewer. Sorry, but once again, you can always adapt your cone shape by changing the temperature, the grind size to find back the sweetness. That is really by using the same ground, the same water, same everything. But if you modify things, you can always fall into a very great cup of coffee. And as a matter of fact, one of the best coffees I'm drinking or I make on a daily basis are usually on the cone shape because I really enjoy that complexity and the clarity that those brewers produce usually. And I like using a flat bottom when I want like a more easy to drink coffee without analyzing it too much. Last but not least, consuming the coffee. And in this channel, in this podcast, we talk a lot about the cross-modal effect, right? Of the color, the sounds, the boba and kiki effect, all those things that you can find back all the podcasts we have released about taste, shapes, and cups. And I won't summarize those again because we talked about it a lot, but I'm going to add another layer, which is about the cultural difference and the more background-based approach to it. We all will have a different life, and we all have a different background, a different childhood, and which affect our emotional state when we are confronted to a different color, different music, different taste, different smell, which reminds us of a childhood memory or something totally new. And that affects also, because of that cross-modal perception, our perception of sweetness. So saying that pink and red increase sweetness, and green and yellow increase sourness or increase that perception of sourness is true for most westernized culture. But maybe if you are in another part of the world, it may be totally different. So that's something to keep in mind when we are discussing flavor and sweetness and taste and smell with other people. Always consider that the person you are talking to, the person you're referring a smell, a memory, may have a different definition, a different experience with that particular smell or aroma. Whew. Oh my God, it's been almost 40 minutes on this. If you're still there, well done. I went through one trait here. Explaining sweetness, I found that it was quite important to explain sweetness in coffee. It's often like this mystery aspect, right? Just to, let's summarize one last time. So sweetness is energy for your brain, your muscle. It's what keeps you going. It's also pleasure and dopamine. Sweetness is a taste, it's a basic taste that is opposite to bitterness and sourness, and it's also complements spiciness and saltiness. So, which tells us that less bitter food makes it sweeter, or less sour food makes it sweeter. And you can see that if you have a very unripe apple versus a ripe apple, right? The unripe apple is very sour and is not sweet at all. But a ripe apple is the same apple that has been just left longer, and that one has a sweetness perception. And same goes with the bitterness. And then we start talking about sweetness in coffee. We started with the SCA definition, and we saw that it's a perception of sweetness. and the way we score coffee the way we score sweetness in coffee by just ticking a box if it has sweetness or not, and how we can improve that scoring a little bit more by evaluating the impression of sweetness and the intensity of it. Then we talk about, we saw that sweetness is actually not in coffee at all as dissolved material, but as volatile, and how smell is important. It's part of the overall kind of complete picture of a flavor. And then we dive into every segment of the coffee chain. In farming, we saw that less caffeine produce less bitterness, which produce more sweetness perceived. And then we start talking a little bit about fermentation as well. In roasting, we saw the same thing. I basically take the same approach to make more sweetness a little bit more prevalent. You decrease bitterness and acidity. So we dive into that, and with all the tools and all the aspects of brewing, grind size, water, et cetera, et cetera. And then how you consume it with a cross-modal effect and the Kiki and Boba experiment. But we added a little cultural background where when you describe something, just be mindful of other people's expectation, experience with that smell or that flavor. I hope you learned something in that one. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. Thank you very much. And see you next time on this sensory podcast, where we will dig in the final, not actually the final, we still have uniformity and stuff, but the last kind of important aspect of the coffee tasting, which is balance. Thank you very much, and see you next time.